Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Tennis Files Podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Hey everyone, this is Mehrban and I'm back in the studio. Happy to be back for sure. I took a trip to Orlando and was there for a little bit. And it's nice to be able to have my microphone that I usually use for these episodes. I'm not sure if you noticed any difference in the quality. You probably did, but in any case, for this episode, I want to walk you through a private lesson that I took at the USCA National Tennis Center in Orlando, Florida. I think it'll be neat and a different kind of episode than normal, and then I'll give you actually 9 different tips that I got from my lesson. And, you know, I'd stayed in Orlando for quite a bit. And then at the very last moment, essentially, you know, within the last few days of leaving, I decided to book a lesson at the tennis center. And I just asked the front desk for a lesson. And then I gave them my playing history and level. And interestingly enough, when the instructor came on the court, she said that they told her that I had not played for 10 years, but was a former college tennis player, which I had never said I hadn't played for 10 years. But anyway, that's besides the point. I know you want to just mainly hear the tips, but it was interesting. It was very hot. It was like 90 degrees plus. So I definitely was hoping I would get through the lesson okay, but I brought a hydration drink to help me out. I think it was from Precision Hydration. Just poured some into my water bottle, so I was good to go. But yeah, so my instructor came onto the court. She was a younger former college tennis player named Maria. And, you know, I'll be totally honest, for a few seconds, you know, sometimes your brain goes into critical or negative mode. I was thinking or wondering, you know, how much I would learn from my instructor, but she was actually great. And what we did first, of course, was a short court warm-up. I arrived a few minutes early and did some dynamic stretching like I always preach. So then we did the warm-up, like I said, and then we hit from the baseline for a bit just down the middle so Maria could assess my strokes and whatnot. And then we did some cross-court forehands and backhands. And so we first started with the cross-court forehands, and Maria was encouraging me to hit through my forehand and in front more. I think she was noticing that I was kind of brushing. You know, I love to hit a lot of topspin on my shots, but she was encouraging me to hit through the ball, which is very valid. You know, I mean, there's obviously times where you want to hit a more offensive flat ball. And I think, you know, when I got some of those balls, she felt like I should have been hitting through them more rather than just spinning them back into the court. But and then on the backhand cross courts, she noticed that my contact point wasn't always in the best place. You know, sometimes I was hitting the ball where the ball was hitting the more of like the top of the racket strings area rather than, you know, the center. So we did work on that. And my backhand is not as strong as my forehand. And it's interesting, you know, with the footwork on the backhand isn't as good as my forehand as well. So yeah, I think that was a really good reminder of trying to focus on the contact point. And that, you know, it's very interesting. And I've had, you know, quite a few instructors try to emphasize that and ask me to present on that particular topic, the contact point, which really just tells you how important it is. So I think if you can focus on having a consistent contact point alone, you know, even not considering anything else, that automatically causes you to move better and position yourself better and strike the ball at a more comfortable, you know, vicinity relative to where you are. So that's great. And then after the cross courts, we did a baseline game to 6 points where we would just kind of hit the first three balls down the middle of the point. Maria fed all of those. And then on the fourth shot, I would open up the court. So that was a good little game there that I was able to win. I mean, not that that matters at all. And then we did some volleys. We warmed up our volleys. And after that, we did a four-ball volley drill. We did it, I believe it was cross court each side. So the four balls, the first one started at the behind the service line. And then on the fourth ball, I would finish the, you know, hit a finishing volley. So the first thing that Maria noticed on my volleys, which this has been a big help moving forward, because I did practice with a friend after that, my friend Victor. And then I also had a government league match the other day. And I kept this in mind and my volleys were much better, is that she noticed that I was kind of letting the racket head drop a bit too often on the volleys. And that's why some of my volleys were not penetrating the court enough and I was losing some control. So as soon as she you know, gave me that tip and to let me be aware of that I was doing that, I kept my wrist a bit more firm on the volleys in the sense of not letting the racket head drop after impact so much. I think naturally, you know, it'll drop a little bit, you know, sometimes. But in any case, just even thinking about trying to not let the racket head drop on the volleys was really great and immediately firmed up my volleys. So I love that tip. That was great. And that's something that I think if you're struggling on getting enough depth on your volleys, enough pop, you want to think about that.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
So, We did cross court four ball volley drill each side, and then we did a four ball drill starting from the baseline. So we'd go shot from the baseline, and then an approach shot, then a deep volley, and then a finishing volley. And that was really great. And one tip that I got during this drill was to hit strong approach shots, otherwise the volley would be tough. And that was very valid too, because on some of these approach shots, I was kind of placing it a bit more and not, I mean, you know, obviously placement is very important, but, you know, I had the opportunity to be more aggressive on these balls and hit a heavier approach shot. And I, you know, in some of those cases, I was kind of just, you know, just hitting it to hit the ball. I don't know if that, you know, if that makes sense. But in any case, just being more aggressive with that approach shot. And that doesn't mean trying to hit the lines or anything like that. You know, just hitting it deep in the court, heavy. You know, it's an important point to think about, because the better of an approach shot you hit, the easier volley you'll have most of the time. And then I got a reminder on the finishing volley to hit to the net player's feet. So that was a great tip too, just to keep that in mind. And, you know, when you're doing these drills, as what I really like from Maria is that she would constantly remind me that, you know, of strategy relative to like what we were imagining the, you know, the points to be like. So Maria actually put like a basket of balls, an empty one on one end, simulating the doubles player at the baseline, and then a bag near the net, simulating an opponent at the net, which just kind of helps when you're trying to be as realistic as possible during these drills. So yeah, that was a good one. And then also just in general, kind of like I just said a little bit, but thinking about where to hit shots based on the position of opponents. So that's why, you know, on that finishing volley, instead of hitting the ball back cross court to the baseline player, you want to mostly hit that to the net player. And you don't want to let any sort of, I don't know how to say it, like courtesies or whatever to make you avoid or being scared of hitting it to the net player. You know, you just want to finish the point off and be smart about it and hit to that net player, because they're not going to have much time to react. And then I think at that point we had about 15 minutes or so left, and then I went to the other side with Maria and we practiced my serve. So I hit a bunch of serves, and the main thing of all the things that she recognized was just my ball toss. So, you know, at some points when I was asked to hit topspin or kick serves, my toss wasn't placed quite as well as it could have been. So that was a big emphasis for her to get that ball placement correctly, that ball toss in the right place behind the head to more easily generate topspin. So, and then what I really liked as well was we did not only the serve, but then she added some drop feeding. So I would simulate the serve plus one where I would serve wide and then Maria would drop the ball and then I would hit a forehand to the open court. And when we did this drill, after a few shots, Maria noticed that on some of my serves, I wasn't balanced, you know, on the finish of the serve, which is very important because, as she mentioned, you know, if you're not balanced, then you're not going to be as ready as you could be for that return. So if you hit your serve and you're off balance and then somebody hits a well-placed return, your body is not in position to react quickly. So that is important and can make the difference between you winning or losing a point for sure. And then, yeah, that was the eighth tip, actually, to be balanced after the serve. And then the last tip was we kind of covered it, hitting the serve wide and then hitting the plus one to the open court. And then on occasion, you can hit the ball back behind the returner to wrong foot them if they're used to you hitting into the open court. So, yeah, that was pretty much the lesson. I don't know how long this episode took, really, to go through that, but I enjoyed the lesson. And, you know, a lot of these points, you know, if I had not taken that lesson, I wouldn't have, you know, discovered it until, you know, later on. And I really do think that, you know, if you have the opportunity to take a lesson with a good instructor who can look at you and your game and give you these tips, that they are well worth the cost of the lesson. I think they charge about $70 at the USC National Tennis Center, so pretty reasonable too. Beautiful facility there as well. They're not paying me, you know, to say any of this stuff, but if any of you have the chance to go there, then I definitely would go. I mean, they have like 100 courts there. Like, I'm not exaggerating. They actually have 100 tennis courts. And then they have a bunch of other, I forget, it's like padel and pickleball courts and stuff. But yeah, it was pretty cool because I think a lot of you know Jorge Capistani, who's a great coach and a person, a guest of the podcast and the summit. And he hooked me up with Mick from the National Tennis Center. And Mick gave me a tour. And it was awesome because I got to actually finally meet Satoshi Ochi, who is the head strength and conditioning coach over there, as well as Dave Ramos, who does a lot of great work there. And is, you know, when I met Dave, he was preparing like a presentation for Coco Gauff, I think it was, on strategies against her next opponent. So, and it was pretty cool, their setup over there. So, yeah, just really neat. I really enjoyed going there and taking that lesson, and I wish I had played there even more. So just want to recap these 9 lessons that I learned during my private lesson. And they are: hit through the forehand and in front. So pretty much be aggressive with your forehand. Be aware of the backhand contact point, you know, hitting, just positioning your body and your feet and everything so that you can hit the ball at the proper contact point. And then keeping the racket head up after contact on volleys, super important if you want to have a solid volley. The fourth one is to hit strong approach shots, otherwise you'll have a tougher volley to deal with. Tip number 5 from the lesson is hit the finishing volley to the net player's feet. Number 6 is think about where to hit your shots based on the position of your opponents, especially when you're drilling. You want to pretend, you know, if you're a doubles player mainly, that, you know, when you're drilling, there's an opponent at at the net on one side and, you know, at the baseline on the other side or whatever configuration you want. It just makes it more realistic. And then number seven is your serve toss. You really do want to think about your serve toss and place it properly. I mean, oftentimes that's the biggest issue, like especially when you're double faulting in a match. You want to just kind of figure out, are you actually tossing the ball in the proper place relative to the type of serve you want to hit? Number eight is to be more balanced after the serve so that you're prepared to hit the opponent's return if there is one that comes back. And number nine is to implement the serve wide plus one, which is usually hitting to the open court. So those are the lessons that I learned from a private lesson at the USTA National Tennis Center. This was a short but sweet episode, I think. Sometimes I don't know how long I've been talking for, so this could be a 2-hour episode. No, I don't think so. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this little sneak peek into a private lesson that I took. And I just love learning from coaches and getting pointers and improving my game. That's really what it's all about. And once again, you know, just investing in yourself and your game. It's really fantastic, you know, when you make that investment and then you get these pieces of advice that you can then train and implement in your game and then play much better. I mean, it's, you know, these things are priceless, you know, in terms of the joy it gives somebody for improving. So anyways, that's all for this episode. And I'm looking forward to bringing you all some great episodes to come. And I wish you all the best. And just to close, if you all enjoyed this podcast episode, I really would appreciate it if you would subscribe to the Tennis Files podcast. So just hit that subscribe button in your podcast app of choice that you use to listen to the show. Also want to leave you with a quote, as I often do at the end of the show. And this one is by Tyra Banks, a well-known model, but businesswoman and you know, a lot of other things, great entrepreneur. Tyra said, "Never dull your shine for somebody else." Love that. Definitely follow this piece of advice. All right. Well, okay. I think this is actually it now. I'm done with the close and really excited to be back. You know, had a great vacation, but ready to go to work for you all. So wishing you all the best and be safe and play a lot of tennis and keep improving your game. This is Mirabon. Signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit tennisfiles.com.